Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Joining me now is my co-host on Moonbase Live, a show that we do occasionally. We should probably do one tonight, John. We probably have enough information to do one soon. You, of course, can follow us at Moonbase Live on X, and we're on Rumble Moonbase Live. Follow John on X at Lebanon John. He's been providing very thorough updates throughout the conflict between America and Iran, and he calls in today. Oh, I'm sorry, Lebanon underscore John. Lebanon underscore John on X. John, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
It's going all right. You tell me. Obviously, Israel was very mad at the ceasefire yesterday and took that anger out on Lebanon. Biggest bombing raid against Lebanon, killing upwards of 700 civilians, I think was the latest count I saw. What do you have for us about this?
Yes. So, Bibi Netanyahu and the Israeli government in general were not even at the table for this negotiation.
Right.
And so that's basically somewhat of a sign of what's going on, that Israel was not even invited to this negotiation, that Donald Trump's administration negotiated basically with Iran directly. And the Israelis had, like, on their television channels, a countdown for this massive proposed civilization-ending strike that they were going to participate in. And so they were preparing to participate in this massive assault, obviously based on American leadership and the American indication of a massive strike. So they had all their bombers lined up for a very large, sudden assault. Then the announcement of a ceasefire comes, and apparently the Israelis weren't involved in a negotiation at all. The rumors are that Bibi Netanyahu called President Donald Trump, and basically tells him, you know, what I'm going to guess, and I have a pretty good instinct on these sort of things. Basically, Bibi Netanyahu tells Trump, this isn't going to work. You know, I'm taking hits domestically in the politics of Israel. All my enemies have come out now and are like, basically, they went to town on Bibi Netanyahu in Israel like crazy. They said, you've humiliated us, you've degraded us. You know, the Iran war was basically our war. In the end, we've achieved nothing, and they didn't even have us at the negotiating table. And then our army's on the verge of collapse. Society's taking a bunch of damage. We've achieved nothing. And, you know, Bibi Netanyahu is a failure. And so after all this made the rounds in the Israeli media, Bibi calls Trump and basically says, I need a win. You know, this isn't going to work. And so then I guess Trump walks back the Lebanese front being part of the ceasefire, where Trump is now claiming, like, you know, that really wasn't part of the deal. You know, somehow, some way, really wasn't part of the deal. When, of course, everybody knows it was part of the deal. And so then what apparently happened is the Israeli assault that they had prepared for Iran, that they were locked and loaded, ready to go, in a sort of tantrum or fit of rage, and also for political expediency of Bibi Netanyahu, they unleashed that assault just on Lebanon instead. Now, they don't have military targets to hit in Lebanon. If they did, they would have already hit them. What would they be waiting for? So if they knew where some key figure was and he was just right there out in the open, they would have hit him. They would have hit him a long time ago. But nonetheless, they have to take the news headlines away from Bibi Netanyahu's failures and create a different headline that, oh, Lebanon is suffering now because of Iran. Lebanon is suffering now because they dared to resist. And simultaneously, this is a gambit to divorce the front of Iran and Lebanon, because the Lebanese military operations against Israel have been relatively easy, with Iran taking a lot of the burden, with Iran occupying a lot of the defenses and intelligence forces, so that it allows the Lebanese operations to be easier. So actually, since October 7th until now, this last round of fighting has actually been easier for Lebanon, because Israel is preoccupied with the massive war going on with Iran. And so from the Israeli point of view, It would be very expedient if the Iranian front could be halted, at least temporarily, to then allow for all their intelligence and defensive capabilities to be focused only on the Lebanese front. And so it was an attempt to divorce the fronts. And so then they did a media campaign in Iran to say that your leaders are going to sacrifice your lives and ruin your chance of peace for the sake of a foreign country in Lebanon to attempt to convince the Iranian people that it's not in their national interest to support Lebanon, that they should accept the ceasefire, leave Lebanon out, sell Lebanon out, let Lebanon be focused on and destroyed individually. And so, okay, yeah. So that's basically a pretty good breakdown or rundown of like what America and Israel did up until this point. I haven't mentioned, you know, what Lebanon or Iran has decided to do or what their reaction is to this. But does that make sense up until this point?
Yeah, that does. And of course, for our television viewers, you see we've been playing B-roll of the attacks on Lebanon. All of these are from the last 24 hours or so, and you can see it is absolutely massive. Right now we're looking at, I believe that's Tyre, and you just see smoke across the entire city, just massive apartment blocks being blown up. I mean, this is indiscriminate terror bombing by Israel on Lebanon for, I guess, the crime of existing, I guess. I don't know. I mean, that's all I got. So what is Iran and Lebanon's response? And you're saying that basically the I guess, pro-peace faction is telling the Iranian people, or just straight up the Israelis are telling the Iranian people, hey, don't be suckers getting your country bombed for Lebanon. Let Lebanon go it alone so that you can, you know, get out of this conflict. But, I mean, it's not really up to Israel or even Lebanon, right? It's Iran. If Iran wants to, you know, include the Lebanese front in the ceasefire, they're the ones proposing it, right? So it's not like we have the ability to dictate terms to them. I mean, that isn't that what this is all about?
Yeah, what this is that Donald Trump, you know, is bluffing, like you said, with this civilization-ending threat. So if you consider that in the equation, Donald Trump believes in his, you know, art of the deal. To attain the upper hand, he has to go, you know, way over the top with some ridiculous demand, with some ridiculous threat, with some ridiculous claim. He has to come to the table with, you know, totally outrageous positions on purpose. So then he believes that gives him the upper hand. That's why he just continuously makes these ridiculous claims and ridiculous threats. Right. Now, the Iranian side is not playing a game. See, from Donald Trump's point of view, this is like a game. You see, he's like, oh, they put humans, civilians, around their power plants and on their bridges. What did he say? He said, quote, they're not allowed to do that.
Right.
Like, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, there's rules. Like, we have to be, like, he's thinking that he can destroy the civilian infrastructure of Iran to make them die a slow, painful death back to the Stone Age, but the civilians themselves cannot use their bodies to prevent it, risking sudden death. No, they have to accept slowly dying. And that, and these are the rules, you see. So in his mind, it's like a game. So what we have here is a culture clash. He doesn't understand the culture of who he's dealing with. The Iranians have laid out 10 points that they insist be met. They're not bluffing. This isn't coming to the table with things that they don't really want. This isn't a fake posture of 10 demands that it's really just for show. No, these are the actual 10 demands. And if these 10 demands aren't met, the Strait of Hormuz is just not going to be open. And there really is no game in this. There's no posturing or guile behind it. So, you know, he has no idea the culture that he's dealing with. He's dealing with them like he has dealt with so many people in the past, like he's negotiating with the city of New York for property tax abatements or something. You know, this is not going to work. And so he's basically learning the hard way that they don't really care about the threats. The threats aren't working. They had little girls and grandmas on the bridge and on the power plant. So go ahead and bomb it. And they don't care. And it's a religious and nationalist country. So the Iranian people right now are saying that they're not falling for it, that everybody in Iran who's calling for a ceasefire is actually outing themselves as a foreign collaborator or betrayer of national interest. The public of Iran have gone into the streets and are demanding no ceasefire. The public are protesting to not accept ceasefire. The public of Iran are demanding a continuation of the war, and nobody is accepting to abandon Lebanon, because from their point of view, it's pretty obvious that this is a ruse, and once they eliminate the resistance in Lebanon, then they'll just come for Iran later. So why would they just let them be taken out one by one? It doesn't really make any sense. So the Iranians are going to fire in about 3 or 4 hours, maybe 4 or 5 hours. They're going to do a huge response against Israel. And if Israel continues to attack Lebanon, that's how it's going to continue to happen. Now, the military equation between Lebanon and Israel had no change based on these bombings. This had no effect. This is just killing civilians. They are not able to target Hezbollah like this. Hezbollah is underground in hardened positions. And the Israeli invasion has been basically a failure. So to summarize, to really get to the heart of the issue here, what you have to understand is that Bibi Netanyahu uses violence. Bibi Netanyahu uses war for political gains. He's not a warrior. He's not a soldier-type person. He's a politician. His mind thinks politically. He uses war for politics. So the bombing today is to save his political career. Mm. It's not for a military objective. That's just not how his mind works. He never used war for the purpose of actually winning a war or achieving military objectives. Like, it's been forever since this guy has achieved any actual, you know, military objectives. He uses, subterfuge and things like that. So he uses betrayals, he uses, you know, blackmail, bribes, assassinations, these kind of things. He's not thinking like, I'm going to conquer this land and fortify it and I'm going to hold it. Well, he really can't. And in the case of Lebanon, he just simply can't. It's not physically possible. And so the bombing of Lebanon is just terrorism, is just an act of rage. It's a political expediency move. It helps Bibi Netanyahu look strong. And he apparently overpowered Donald Trump, because the ceasefire did include Lebanon. Then Bibi Netanyahu called Trump, and Trump changed his tune. Trump changed his tune at the request of Bibi Netanyahu. It's pretty much cut and dry. I mean, there really is no doubt about this. So now the whole ceasefire has blown up because they cannot accept not bombing Lebanon, because it would be too embarrassing for Bibi Netanyahu in specific. It is specifically Bibi Netanyahu's career that is causing all of this. And the Lebanese public now, this is kind of dark what I'm about to say. You know, I hope no one gets offended by this. I'm just reporting this. I'm just reporting, okay? Don't get mad at me. I'm just reporting. The Lebanese public now has said that they are demanding that the resistance in Lebanon attack Israel in kind. And you see, it's very anti-Semitic and hateful of me to say that Israel should be treated how they treat others. Didn't you know that? It's downright evil of me to say that. But the resistance in Lebanon is now saying that they're tired of Hezbollah primarily attacking, or exclusively attacking, whatever you want to say, military targets. They're tired of it. They're actually requesting that Hezbollah start attacking civilians because of how much suffering the civilians of Lebanon are being put under intentionally by Israel. Now, is Hezbollah going to listen to this? Probably not. Probably not. Hezbollah is probably not going to just try to kill hundreds of civilians in one day. They don't really do that. They don't. I mean, that it's frankly a waste of missiles, because what is the military objective there? What is the point of that? Israel doesn't pay for their missiles, so I guess they don't care. But if you're making your missiles underground and you don't have that many, it's probably not smart to just waste them on random people. I mean, kind of is.
Well, and of course, that is, shocking to hear to people who are convinced that Hezbollah, like Iran, are just insane, you know, Islamic extremist terrorists, that their whole goal is to kill as many people as they want. In reality, if you look at what they've been doing, I mean, I've been sort of shocked at how hesitant, how reticent Hezbollah has been to, you know, really launch attacks full force. I mean, ever since October 7th, I was expecting, all right, Hezbollah is going to get really involved in a big way. And they're always very sort of circumspect. They're always very careful about where they actually use force. Again, you can see that as a compliment or otherwise. It's just the fact on the ground. And when you look at the facts on the ground, you see that they are not trying, or, you know, even accidentally killing hundreds of people in Israel in the way that Israel is killing people in Lebanon. From the Metro, this is the headline. Scenes of devastation after Israel bombs Lebanon 100 times in 10 minutes. So when you're talking about, you know, rage-filled terror bombing, 100 bombings in 10 minutes all over Lebanon with no strategic goal or value whatsoever.
No, it's like a mall, an apartment complex, a pharmacy. It's just literally random spots. I mean, they have no targets. If they had targets, they would have bombed them yesterday, before yesterday, before yesterday. They have no targets. They don't know what to bomb. It's a cram-packed, very dense country. And it's full of people of different confessions and different backgrounds. And the population, one-third of the population, supplies their young men into Hezbollah. So what they would like to do is give it the Gaza treatment, where they want to attack the population base that supplies the fighters. They're thinking, you know, to exterminate the root of the issue. But the problem is, this isn't Gaza. You know, this is a huge number of people. It's a much bigger country. They're spread out over a much bigger area, and they would need a lot more bombs. And the Gaza treatment was not an efficient use of bombs. That was not a cost-effective method of flattening an area. It wasted a lot of bombs. And that's why people like Lindsey Graham, they say, well, why don't you just nuke the whole area? Well, he's saying that because that would be a lot more effective. The problem is that would just kill a bunch of random people in Lebanon, which would bring a huge international outcry, specifically in the form of, you know, Russia and China. Russia and China have specifically warned Israel about going too far using nuclear weapons against civilians. And there are definitely madmen in Israel who would have no problem with that. I mean, how many times have we heard since 9/11, just glass the whole Middle East? That's a very common sentiment. But, you know, the Iranians, what they're saying, and I just spoke to people in Iran in a space a couple hours ago, people in Iran, actual Iranians, they're saying that it's a new dawn. It's over. They're not even going to listen to any attempt of a ceasefire moving forward. The Strait of Hormuz is not going to be opened no matter what. And if the energy infrastructure of Iran is hit, the energy infrastructure of all the countries that are being used to facilitate the war on Iran will be absolutely destroyed. They're going to turn the lights off. And they said not one drop of oil is going to move through this region. So the Iranians are basically saying, do your worst. I mean, they're done. It's a culture clash. When you're studying war, you have to study the culture of your opponent. And they obviously do not comprehend, Donald Trump does not comprehend the culture of the Iranians. He has made the hardliners take power 100%. As you and Alex Jones have been saying, these actions have emboldened and empowered the hardliners of Iran, right? I mean, it's common sense. Everybody would know that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, you know, whether it's the 10-point plan or just, you know, common sense and what is even possible at this point. I mean, we are in a worse position now than we were before the war. Even if all you're talking about is the Strait of Hormuz, you know, you're talking about now the Strait of Hormuz, which was free, 40 days ago. Best case scenario now is it becomes a cash cow for Iran, where they're raking in something like $500 billion a year by taxing, toll gate, basically, for the Strait of Hormuz. So this has been an unmitigated disaster, in my opinion. We have about 4 minutes left here. Where does it go from here, John? What do you think is next? How do you think Israel responds to this? How do you think Iran responds to Israel's outrages in Lebanon?
Well, basically, the classic Donald Trump, MO, is now he's going to have to come up with some other super ridiculous, over-the-top threat. He really has no other method of operation. That's all he does. And so he's going to let it cool down for a little bit, so that the next threat could be really believable. He has to have some teeth on it. And this is how Donald Trump thinks. I'm not saying this is smart. I'm not saying this is going to work. I'm just saying this is the only way he knows how to operate. So he's going to try to come up with some threat, some super dramatic thing that's absolutely horrible that he doesn't actually even want to do, and he has to make it believable. And then he's going to try to it's not going to work. I mean, that ship has sailed. In other words, it depends. Do we want to actually solve the problem, or do we want to just have a long, drawn-out war? If you want to solve the problem, you know, Bibi Netanyahu his career has to come to an end.
Yeah.
That's if you want to solve the problem. If you want the problem to keep going, it's just going to be more of the same.
That's what I was wondering, like, what do you think the likelihood is that, like, you know, Joe Kent, a lot of others are out saying, you know, if you want this peace deal, ceasefire, anything to last, you got to restrain Israel. Obviously, Trump is no interest in trying to restrain Israel, but if Israel is bombing the hell out of Lebanon and that's putting our ceasefire in danger, I mean, what, you know, how does it, how do things have to lie to where we are in a way forced to restrain Israel? And would we even do that? Like, what do you think of that potentiality?
Well, restraining Israel is a strange thing because we're the ones who created and funded and enabled, well, the deep state of the United States. It, you know, it's not really the public of the United States. So it would be counterintuitive. It would be like a self-restricting at that point. So it would be an act at the end of the day. It would be nothing but theatrics. It's not real, because as soon as the tables turned, they would then enable Israel right back. And so, you know, the chances of de-escalation are quickly disappearing. The latest treachery, I mean, you know, it was hard enough to get Iran to negotiate, and then to mess it up again, I mean, it's almost like unbelievable how bad they are at getting things done properly. So it was hard enough to persuade them to negotiate again. Clearly, one of the points of the negotiation, I mean, the mediator tweeted out, effective immediately, there's a truce, including Lebanon. And then now Donald Trump is saying, and J.D. Vance, by the way, just came out and said, oh, it's just a misunderstanding, see? They thought Lebanon was part of the ceasefire, but we never guaranteed anything about Lebanon. Well, probably they should have brought Israel to the negotiating table, because it's Israel that's attacking Lebanon. So if Israel is not at the negotiating table, how can they promise that that Israel won't attack Lebanon without even including Israel at the negotiating table? So in one respect, the Israelis have a point. They weren't even asked. They weren't even there. They didn't promise that. That's a good point. But why did the United States promise that then? The United States is supposed to be able to control Israel, but they don't. They can't. They apparently do not control Israel. And so Donald Trump has embarrassed himself and us yet again, because he agreed to a deal, and then Israel made him change his mind on a key part of the deal, which blew up the whole deal. That's what happened. Flat out, in public. There's no denying it. This is what happened. They agreed to a deal that had no attacking. And again, they can attack Lebanon all they want, because everyone needs to understand, Iran pays to rebuild all those houses that are blown up. They did it three times already. So blowing up all these houses and blowing up all these shops, it's just terrorism. There's no military strategic gain. Iran is going to pay to rebuild all that. Iran spends billions of dollars to rebuild stuff in Lebanon all the time. And they're going to do it again. When this is over and they put a tax on the Strait of Hormuz,
the money's going to come rolling in. Well, thank you very much for the update. That's Lebanon John. Follow him on X at Lebanon _ John. That's at Lebanon _ John. We, of course, do the Moonbase Live. Follow us on Rumble. And we may do an episode tonight if you're lucky. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.